ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu and welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So the month of November has begun. Today is November 1st, 2018. 22 more days to go. Let His glory grow. Let His love flow to all the hearts everywhere. Let the world realize and relish the value of universal love. Let the world experience and enjoy the joy of selfless service. In fact, it indeed is a time for us to, even as we rejoice, to reflect and to recharge ourselves, to ruminate and meditate on what He has done and continues to do for us. It is a time to get inspired and act on the directions given by Him. Among the millions of things that Bhagwan has done for each one of us, some of the most obvious gifts for humanity on a very superficial physical level is the mammoth institutions which Bhagwan has established, which are in fact beacons for humanity. These are the lighthouses in these modern times, redefining how we should serve, how we should love, how in our own little way we can redeem ourselves through service. If you have been following the episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, on the first Thursday of every month, we've been focusing on one such institution which has in a way revolutionized how we should look at education. And you have today the seed that was sown in the form of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and as the Sri Satya Sai Colleges, which started way back in 1968, the first college in Anandpur, and in the very next year, 1969, the College for Men. Since that time, you have Bhagwan continuously giving such obvious hints about how education should be reconsidered in the modern times. We have been deliberating on the glorious history and the legacy of the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. It celebrates its golden jubilee, 1969 to 2019. So the next year, 50 years, 50 momentous years of this campus. And to commemorate this occasion, we have been having this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. So if you have heard the first episode, which we started in June 2018, we began with how Swami used to come to Bangalore way back in the 40s and 50s, and how slowly this led to Bhagwan staying in a place called Nandanavanam and then moving to the place which is now called Vrindavan, how Bhagwan selected that area, how He christened the ashram, and how slowly the ashram started growing, and how the campus then began to take shape. So all these episodes, if you have heard in the previous months, on the first Thursday of every month, we have been documenting and sharing with joy this lovely story of Vrindavan. And in the last 2-3 episodes, our focus was to share how Bhagwan so subtly, beautifully, silently and solidly laid the foundation of this college. Not the foundation in terms of the concrete, the foundation in terms of what will be taught in this modern Gurukula system. How Bhagwan slowly was setting in place everything that He wants to be part of the education system, what is needed for the youngsters of today. So we discussed how Darshan started, how self-reliance activities commenced, how boys got so involved with so many activities in the ashram, and how everything happened so naturally, so organically, so meticulously, and so mellifluously, Bhagwan integrated them into their living. And it all happened with so much love. How moral classes started, how the college prayer started, how Swami inculcated the value of sharing and caring in the minds of the boys, how he was uncompromising on certain aspects of discipline, at the same time submerging them with copious love, and a love that was slowly and steadily touching and changing their minds. And all these metamorphoses happened once the students developed faith and love. Once you have faith, you experience more of his love. And once you love him more, your faith deepens. And then you love him deeper than before. So this cycle continues of faith and love. And through this beautiful process of faith, love, experience, and reinforced faith and deeper love and even ecstatic experience, that is how the process of refinement happens in the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Let me share with you a few more anecdotes of those times which Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy has shared with me. He belongs to the very first batch of students who joined the Vrindavan campus, and even now he continues to teach in the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School. He's retired, but he looks half his age, and he's so full of energy and enthusiasm and so dedicated to Bhagwan. He was sharing how in those days people came from different backgrounds, and the boys, some came from cities, some came from rural areas, so some came from sophisticated lifestyles and families, but some came from middle class homes. But the Vrindavan in the 60s did not have any facilities, no proper facilities. There was not enough sports facilities even for the boys. So the college was just growing. But all these youngsters, they did not miss what the youngsters elsewhere were doing. They were so much into the vibe of Vrindavan. Bhagwan's love was so overwhelming for them that they were glued to Swami. They did not miss anything of the outside world. They were so much in the love of Bhagwan. They were so much constantly thinking, dreaming, eating, sleeping Bhagwan, that it was completely the Vrindavan of the earlier era, the Gopalas and Gopikas and Krishnas, all those leelas that we have heard. It was a recreation of that. In fact, let me now play for you just a little clip, just 2 minutes of Ramakrishna Reddy, sir, and then I will narrate to you something very lovely that he shared going back to that era.
You can't describe, even though hours together Swami used to allow us, not even a second he used to find his face tired or the feeling that why these people are coming again and all. Morning 7 o'clock or evening 7 o'clock, the same joy on his face, the same luster and love on his face. And boys also had the same kind of enthusiasm to see Swami. Any number of times we used to say, and any length of time, sometimes almost half an hour, 40 minutes, when Swami is sitting on a sofa and reading letters, some boys to sit close and do Padaseva. And there's no feeling of, okay, it's enough. And Swami is to move out at 9:30 to give darshan to the devotees. And boys used to, students used to rush for outside and stand behind the devotees' darshan lines. And not only the hostel students, people used to stay in the mandir. Around that time, even the day scholar boys used to come. Even though they're new and new to the whole setup, after seeing Swami from far, when they used to enter the college grounds, they used to see Swami and say, in Kannada, Swami is coming and Swami Bhartitare. And they used to almost throw the books and run towards the darshan line, and they used to touch Swami's feet. Even when returning, Swami used to sometimes enter the college rooms, classrooms, and there also, as if they have not seen morning, and with the same enthusiasm, they used to look at Swami, and Swami used to say, indicate, signal, and look at the, towards the teacher lecturing, and smilingly Swami used to, and all the rooms were interconnected. That Kalyan Mandapam area of the first college building, all the classrooms were interconnected, and Swami used to move from classroom to classroom.
So Swami used to move from classroom to classroom. So even though boys have seen Swami in the morning and seen Swami during the darshan time, they have seen him just 2 hours ago, they have seen him just 2 minutes ago, but again they want to see him. That is how it was. That is how mesmerizing it was. They just wanted to live every moment with Bhagwan. That is what is divinity, isn't it? You can look at him for any number of hours and it is never enough. So that is how it was. Sometimes, as Ramakrishna Reddy sir said, Swami used to come inside the classrooms. So on one occasion, Bhagwan had finished darshan and the boys came to the classes, and after one or two periods, what they used to do is constantly the boys were so much thinking only about Bhagwan and Bhagwan's movements that they would be indicating to each other, because in those times they could actually see Swami's dining hall, because it was tinted glasses, so their college building was just next to Swami's residence, and from the college they could see the orange halo moving in Swami's residence. So they used to constantly keep thinking, okay, where is Swami now? Is he in the dining room now? Is he in the outer room now? So constantly their thought was, where is Swami now? Where is Swami now? So even when the classes were going on, their minds were constantly only on Bhagwan. In fact, on one day, so second period, there was one teacher who had not come. And so some of these boys, they were just outside the college building, and at that point in time, where the current hostel of Vrindavan stands, there was a pond, a dry pond. And so all these 4 or 5 boys were sitting there. There was no teacher, and they were just simply discussing. And one of them, Mr. Radhakrishna, who later on served Swami at very close quarters, he asked Ramakrishna Reddy, sir, can you please tell me where will Swami be now? Because Ramakrishna Reddy, sir, was someone who was an old timer. He had lived with Bhagwan in Prashantilam. He came to Swami, he was very, very small. And so he, being someone who was more conversant with Swami's movement, so they asked him, can you guess where Swami will be now? And so Ramakrishna Reddy, sir, saw the time and it was 11 a.m. And so he said, probably if interviews are over, then Swami could be in the central hall, or he could be in the side room. He will definitely be downstairs. Unless it is 12 o'clock, he will not go upstairs. So then the other boys who were there then said, okay, come. If Swami is going to be downstairs, let's go. Let's go for darshan. And Ramakrishna Reddy said, no, we cannot do that now because this is college time. This is the college class hours. We are supposed to be in the college. We cannot go to his residence for darshan again. Swami will not appreciate this, because he knew what Swami liked and what Swami did not like, and you know how Swami would be very particular about discipline and all that, and Swami would always want him to guide the newcomers about the ways of conduct in the campus and in the college. So he said, no, this will be a really problem if we go now. Swami may not like it. But these boys, they were so much hungering to be with Swami. They said, doesn't matter, you know, we have this time now. A teacher has not come. Let's go for darshan. Let's see where Swami is. And Ramakrishna Reddy was hesitating. He said, no, I cannot do this. He said, no, you don't take the lead. You just come behind, you know. We will be in the front, so nothing is going to happen to you. You only guide us. And so finally, looking at the devotion and the pining with which all these boys were wanting to be with Swami, Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy said, okay, fine, let's go. And so they didn't take the usual route through the main gate. So they took a deviation behind the Krishna through the garden. And then they saw that there is no sevadal standing in front of the interview room, which means interviews are over, the devotees have gone back, so Swami is not there. And then they went near the central hall and they saw that the door is closed, which means the guests and VIPs also have returned, so Swami is not there now. Then they thought the only other area where Swami could be, if he's in downstairs, is in the side room. There was one side room. So one boy went and slightly opened that room to just see, peek if Swami is there, and they saw that Swami was sitting there and Swami was reading letters. And then another boy now developed a little more courage and he opened the door a little more and saw clearly, yes, Swami is sitting there. And now they just could not contain themselves. They wanted to be in Swami's presence. So they opened the door a little more, and slowly one boy sneaked through that gap and stood there. Swami is sitting on the chair reading letters in one corner of that room, and this boy enters. Swami just looks and Swami doesn't say anything. And now another boy gets courage and he also sneaks in. And slowly, like that, 4 or 5 boys enter into that room quietly. They just want to be with Swami. And Swami does not say anything. He looks at them and he just keeps quiet. And now the boys get more courage because his silence was perhaps his acquiescence. So they thought, Swami is okay with it, you know, let's go. And slowly they inch forward and forward, and Swami doesn't still say anything. So they go and they sit at his lotus feet, and Swami is still busy reading the letters. And now one boy emboldens himself and he places his hand at Bhagwan's feet and he starts massaging Swami's feet, and Swami allows it. And so slowly one more boy holds on to the other foot of Bhagwan, and now they are massaging Bhagwan's feet and sitting right under his nose, right under his grace. And Bhagwan is still reading the letters. He is not seeing anything. And now they are so happy. You know, they had this 1 hour. Teacher has not come. And now they are getting the time to be with Swami. What else could they have asked for? What better way they could have spent that time? So happy. They are sitting there. And then even as Swami was reading the letters, suddenly he picks one letter. And Swami says, there is a tulsi leaf inside this letter. And then Swami opens that letter, and in it there indeed was a tulsi leaf, and Swami gives that leaf to one boy and he says, okay, eat it. And then the session goes on. After some time, Swami picks up one more letter, and then Swami says, he looks at it and Swami says, there's a clove inside. And now again Swami tears open this letter and removes that clove and he gives it to one boy and he says, eat it. And then the session goes on. After a while, Swami lifts one more letter. And then Swami looks at it as if examining it. And then Swami says, there is a 5 rupee note in this. And then again he opens that envelope. And true to what Bhagwan had said, there was a 5 rupee note there. And then Swami gives that to another boy. And then after a while, Swami picks up one more letter, and now Swami starts telling what is written in that letter. So he starts narrating what that devotee has penned down there, all his problems and etc. etc. So Swami narrates everything, and then Swami opens that cover and Swami takes that letter. Swami folds on the top and the bottom so that the person's name is covered. And then Swami gives that to Ramakrishna Reddy. And Swami says, hey, you know Telugu, right? Read this letter. And so he starts reading that letter in his mind quietly. Swami says, hey, read it aloud. So then Ramakrishna Reddy, he was the only person who knew Telugu in that group. So he now starts reading it aloud. And when the boys started listening to that, that is when they realized this is exactly what Swami, whatever Swami had said is exactly what was written in that letter. And then after a while Swami said, okay, stop, stop, stop. And Swami asked him to put it back. And then Swami keeps that letter with him. You know, all those letters where they're just next to Bhagwan's on his sofa. Swami used to keep it, open a letter and keep it back. And then after a while, nothing else was communicated. And then Swami said, hey, it's time for you to go for classes. Go for classes. So the boys got up and they came out of Bhagwan's room and so happy. But now, Ramakrishna Reddy sir saw that so many boys had tears in their eyes, you know, some of them were very downcast too, and he was wondering what happened. I mean, we had such a blissful time, Swami did not object to, you know, we being with him, even though it was college hours, but all these boys were so teary-eyed. And when Ramakrishna Reddy sir inquired with them, that is when they revealed that, you know what, one boy said that when Swami picked that letter and he looked at it and he said, Tulsi leaf, I thought that Swami could feel that, you know, there is something soft and fleshy inside, and that's why Swami said Tulsi leaf, and it just turned out to be that. Another boy said, I thought that when Swami picked that and Swami felt it, it is little hard, so Swami said it is clove, and it, you know, happened to be clove, you know, it was a good coincidence. And then another boy thought, oh, that envelope had a green tinge to it, so obviously it is a 5-rupee note. So Swami anyway knew that. So Swami then just opened that cover and said, see, it's 5-rupee note. So they were all thinking that, you know, Swami was making guessworks and it was all turning out to be true. And when this feeling was getting confirmed in them, there was this element of doubt that had entered. And when that snake raised its hood, the treacherous snake of doubt raised its hood, that is exactly when Swami opened the fourth letter. And then Swami started narrating what is written in that letter and then asked Ramakrishna Reddy sir to read out. And that is when it hit all these other boys so hard, how stupid they were in doubting divinity. How foolish it was for them to even question in whose presence they were in. But the Lord is so gracious, you know, even if you have so many doubts, even after He giving you so many privileges, you do not understand, or you sometimes allow your monkey mind to do its tricks, still He is so compassionate, He still gives you a long rope, He still is there waiting patiently for you to correct your mistakes. So this is how this slowly the transformation used to happen in the boys, you know, all these boys. Once you experience something like this, what it does to your faith, what it does to your understanding of what is happening around you, what it does to what Swami means to you is something phenomenal, isn't it? It changes. You allow your heart to now bask more freely in the love that Swami was showering. In fact, Bhagwan, on another occasion when the boys were there with Swami, and Swami should read one letter and skip many other letters, and some boys again, new boys keep coming, and they thought, oh, Swami does not read this letter, so Swami does not know what is written here. And Swami suddenly said, I read these letters only for your satisfaction. Shall I tell you what is there in that? And Swami just picked randomly one letter and Swami started narrating what is written in that letter. And then Bhagwan went on to reveal, I don't need to open these letters to know what you have written. In fact, when you write, when the thought itself comes in your mind to write, that is when I already know it is I. Who is that letter? He, in the form of letters, rearranges itself as letter to us. So these beautiful moments of truth is what gets revealed once you live in close physical proximity of the divine. And Swami in those days used to always sing a song. The boys, as Ramakrishna Reddy sir said, had so many opportunities right from dawn till dusk, right from at the time Swami retires to his room, they could be there on the staircase till that last moment, till Swami closes his door. They could touch him, they could be with him, and Swami would always sing songs of Krishna, songs of Radha, songs of Gopis and Gopala, songs which communicate the Gopika singing, how long do I have to wait, songs which Radha pines for Krishna, when will you look at me, Lord, why have you kept me afar, why have I not experienced the bliss of your presence. So these are the kind of songs that Swami used to constantly sing. In fact, Swami during that time wrote this Radha Bhakti drama. So this is the kind of feeling that Swami was subconsciously, overtly, covertly conveying to the boys, and that is how the boys responded to every second and every minute. They wanted to be with Swami every instant. Their mind was on God. It was that marvelous a feeling of being with Vrindavan in those days. And there were many lighter moments too. So one day what happened was, there was this phone in Vrindavan, in that old bungalow, and there was another hall beside the central hall, which was a tiny hall, and many times ladies used to use that room. It was largely called the ladies' hall. So there was one phone there, and this particular morning Swami had called a few boys to help with a little work in fixing some photographs. So these boys were there with Swami, and but ladies were sitting there, and there was a phone which was always in that area. And generally, Mr. Rama Brahman, who used to look after the Vrindavan ashram, whenever there's any phone call, he would generally answer. And the questions would be always is Sai Baba there? And he would say yes. And then, is he giving darshan? And he would say yes. So when is he giving darshan? He said morning and evening. So that is the, these are the standard queries, and these are the standard responses that Mr. Ram Brahman also used to make. And he had also instructed those boys who used to had this access to old bungalow and Bhagwan's residence, that in case he's not there, and if any time the phone rings, you know, they need to answer in this manner and not have excess conversation. Just give the information as much as needed and then hang up. So this is what was Ram Brahman's sir's instruction. So one day when the boys were there, and Swami had called these boys to do some work, as I mentioned, and suddenly the phone rang, and the phone was in that ladies' area. So the boys really could not go, and they didn't know what they should do, because Swami is standing there and the phone is ringing. They didn't know how they should respond. And very interestingly, Swami went and Swami picked up the phone. And the question was, perhaps, depending on the responses that Swami was giving, the boys were guessing the questions. So someone asked, is Swami there? And Swami said, yes, yes, he is in Vrindavan. And is he giving darshan? He said, yes, 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 he is giving darshan. So when is he giving darshan? And he says, oh, he is giving morning, he is giving evening, he is giving anytime you can come. So these were the responses that Swami was giving. And finally, perhaps the question was, may I know whom I'm speaking to? And Swami said, I am only Sai Baba. And Swami kept the phone down. So this was one sweet moment. Immediately, you know, Swami is so shy. You're such a sweet moment. The boys had the opportunity to live with Bhagavan and see such endearing moments, experience such cherished moments with the Lord in Vrindavan. You know, it reminds one of Gopikas and Gopalas, and no wonder Swami called this ashram as Vrindavan ashram. Every Gopika and Gopala was chosen by the Lord. It was the same here too. Everyone who had the chance to spend any moment with Bhagwan, you know, be it a student, be it a faculty, be it a devotee, if you look into their lives, every person was indeed picked, handpicked by Bhagwan to be part of that beautiful time, this golden era of Vrindavan, those formative years of the college. In fact, let me share with you the story of one boy, Shankar Subramaniam, who served also later on in Prashantinilayam as a teacher, who joined Bhagwan's campus in Vrindavan way back in 1974. He's from Erode, Tamil Nadu. And as a student, They used to come for Bhagwan Darshan because his father became a devotee of Swami, and after he finished his schooling, and you know, they were all trying for engineering colleges, and just like every other youngster, he had also applied for some engineering college in Coimbatore, and his cousin had joined the Vrindavan campus, the college there at that point in time, Sri Satyasaya Arts, Science and Commerce College, but he did not really, didn't think seriously about it. He was just okay to join any engineering college. But something happened in that summer vacation of 1974. So Swami announced that he was going to perform Upanayanam, the thread changing ceremony, the thread ceremony basically of the boys. And Swami had said that he will do it for the boys of the Vrindavan hostel, whoever is eligible for it. And this announcement came after the summer course. So summer course was one event that happened in 1972, 73, 74. So Swami used to invite youngsters from all over India to be part of the summer course, wherein Swami would give discourses every day. And during the day, there would be talks by very eminent people, and they would have a very strict hostel-like schedule of morning suprabhatam to seva, to serving, to all those activities. It was a mini experience of being in Bhagwan's hostel. And in fact, this is one occasion when so many youth from India got the chance to be with Swami and experience what it is to live with Bhagwan, what it is to actually experience divinity in action and experience that love. And that is how a lot of students developed the interest to become Sai students. So that was one way of by which Bhagwan brought youngsters to him and started this process of refinement. So the devotees also used to love the summer course because they used to have the chance to listen to Bhagwan every day, even though they could not see, because the arrangements for the summer course used to happen behind Swami's residence. So, but there were speakers, and every evening they could listen to Bhagwan, and they'd have Bhagwan darshan in the morning. So it was the same with Sankar Subramanyam's family. His father used to come to Prashanti or Vrindavan whenever he had a chance and opportunity. So they were there for the summer course, and every day they used to have darshan, listen to Swami in the evenings. And even though the facilities were very, very meager in those days, not much of accommodation facilities there, so they used to live in some hut and have food in some hotel, very, very basic amenities in Vrindavan, we are talking about early 70s. But you know, the joy of listening to Swami, the joy of having his darshan was so alluring that they used to spend that whole month just basking in Swami's love. So Sankara Subramanyam's father had performed the Upanayanam, the thread ceremony of his children, of Sankara Subramanyam, in the April of 1974. And then during the summer course, suddenly they heard this announcement that Swami is going to perform the Upanayanam in May. And that is when his father felt very sad that, you know, his children are missing this chance to get Upanayanam done directly in the divine presence. If only he had not got this Upanayanam done just 1 month before, his children would have had that blessing of being invested with the thread by Bhagwan directly. And but then he said, does not matter. He said, you know, he told his children, Sankar Subramanyam and his brother, that, you know, when they're on the Upanayanam day, we will go ready as if Swami is going to perform our Upanayanam too. Because even though he was not in the list, then it was only for the students who were part of Vrindavan College. On the day of the Upanayanam, he took both his children, and you know, they were dressed in that traditional attire of Angavastram and everything, and had all those items that are generally needed for Upanayanam. And Swami came in the morning for darshan, and you know, Swami casually looked at them, and the darshan was over, and then Swami went inside to that area where the Upanayanam was to be done, because for the Upanayanam, all the chairs and all were kept aside, and now that pandal was created, and you know, facilities making the preparations for the Upanayanam to begin. So all that was going on, and then they got this message that along with every person who is having this Upanayanam done, parents can go with the child, and also one relative could accompany. So their cousin was having the Upanayanam done. So the parents of the cousin went, and since one more person was allowed, so Sankara Subramanyam's father told his mother, you know, told Sankara Subramanyam's mother, you know, his wife, to, why don't you go? You know, you're getting a chance, so why don't you also go? So Sankara Subramanyam's mother went inside, and so the father and the two sons, they were outside, even though they were dressed with all the paraphernalia of, you know, a third ceremony, but some did not say anything during darshan, and they said, it's okay, at least let mother go and be part of it and, you know, enjoy the chance of being with Swami. And they were sitting outside, and suddenly to their shock, they saw the mother running outside, gasping for breath, and she's saying, please come soon, Swami is calling, and she was in tears, she was so much in joy, and she didn't know how to express, she just shouted, Swami is calling, come in, and so Sankara Subramanyam, his brother and father, ran inside, and then the moment Swami saw them, Swami said, hey, you also sit, and that is how his Upanayanam also was done, even though his name was not in the list, he was not a student. And later on they came to know that after his mother went inside, and when Swami, as his mother was entering inside, Swami said, where are your children? Swami asked his mother, bring them in. And that is how they ran. She came outside and they ran. And Sankara Subramanyam had the chance to be invested with the sacred thread by Bhagwan himself. In fact, Swami himself put the thread on everybody, and Swami chanted the Gayatri Mantra. Swami came around. Swami blessed individually every child, you know, who was having that sacred Upanayanam ceremony done. And it was like a second birthday, isn't it, for all the children who get this Upanayanam done. That is a new birth, and you are being given new birth by Bhagwan himself. And even though you are not part of the list, and you are not a VIP, you are a nobody there. And this is what touched Sankara Subramanyam so much, that, you know, we have nothing, but Swami remembered us, Swami recognized us, and Swami filled our hearts with joy. And his father was so touched. And after that, you know, Sankara Subramanyam decided that, come what may, I'm going to be with Swami. I'm going to study in Vrindavan College. And he did not apply for any other engineering. In fact, interestingly, he had already applied, and the interview date for the Vrindavan College and the Coimbatore Engineering College came to be on the same day. It was almost like Swami was telling, I'm giving the option, decide you want this or this. And but Sankara Subramanyam just tore away that application form, that admission card of the engineering college in Coimbatore. He was sure that I'm going to be with Swami in Vrindavan, and that is how he came for the entrance exam in Vrindavan. In fact, he was exceptional in his studies. He had got 200 out of 200 in mathematics. He had distinction in three subjects. And in fact, when he applied, the principal Narendra, who was, you know, then in that selecting the boys, along with Professor Nanjundaya, who was also there, who was a commerce professor, then I'm going to share with you his story also today. And so when they saw his marks and they were so impressed, they immediately said that you can join, because he was a brilliant student. And but when the college started, still he did not get the chance to join the hostel. He was part of the college, and Swami was in Prashantanilam, so only the boys who were in the hostel had the chance to, you know, participate in the hostel food and partake hostel food and the hostel schedule and the hostel bhajan. So all these boys, they were part of the college, but they had to stay outside. They had to eat in a hotel outside and listen to the bhajan that are going on in the hostel, sitting outside the hostel. They didn't have the chance to be a part of the hostel. But there was one person by name Mr. Amarnath in those days who used to do all the activities. He was someone who had dedicated his life completely to Bhagavan. He would do right from ringing the bell in the hostel to being the errand boy for the principal, to looking after the things in the kitchen, to looking after the office, to being a clerk, to collecting the fees, to everything, all the odd jobs and everything that the principal wanted, warden wanted, every work he should use to maintain the record. So he was a one-man army. And he was very kind to all these boys who were not part of the hostel, he used to feel very sorry for them. And one day he comes running and says, "Hey, Shankar Subramaniam, your name is there. Your name is there. You have been selected." So what happens is, after the college list is out of the people who are selected for the college, the list goes to Swami, and Swami has to personally choose who can become part of the hostel. And his name was there. And Shankar Subramaniam says that, you know, more than my joy, looking at the joy with which Amarnath was in, I was in ecstasy. He had someone who felt so happy for the other person. He said, that is something which remains evergreen in his memory, in his mind, about the joy that Amarnath had when he saw that Shankar Subramaniam's name also, that even though he's just a boy, he doesn't know him so much. But this is the joy with which he used to serve Swami. He used to feel so happy that someone is getting a chance to be with Swami. So that is how Shankar Subramaniam joined the college and the hostel in Vrindavan. And he says, that is when my golden period started. In fact, that is the golden moment of every student who was part of Vrindavan in that era. And so this is how Swami picked every student who was part, who had that opportunity to be part of those beautiful years in Vrindavan. I was mentioning to you about Nanjundia, sir. Now, Professor Nanjundia, he had stood first in Karnataka University MCOM program, and despite many lucrative professional possibilities for him, he decided to teach because he felt it was a noble profession. And he was heading the commerce department later on. In fact, it is because of him and his immense effort that so many students got ranks. And in fact, Swami felicitated him in a grand ceremony in 1976 in recognition of his services. He was earlier serving as the head of the department in MES College in Bangalore. So how he became a faculty member in Swami's institution is, again, you know, I narrated to the story of one student. Let me now tell you the story of one faculty member, just to give a glimpse of how Swami picked every person who was to be part of his mission. Nanjundia sir used to be a Ramakrishnaite. You know, he loved Ramakrishna Paramahansa, and for him the gospel of Ramakrishna Paramahansa was the Veda. He felt that if anyone can touch the way Ramakrishna used to touch the devotees and the disciples, that person is indeed God. And he had seen Swami once in 1962-65, but somehow nothing happened to him then. But later on in 1967, he had the chance to have Bhagwan's darshan. And at that point in time, he felt that if anyone can read me like the way Ramakrishna used to read people, if they can speak to me, touch my heart the way Ramakrishna Paramahansa used to do, then that person has to be God. And he thought, I have to see if Swami is my God. And he just picked up one book that Swami had written, Gita Vahini in Telugu. And because he knew Telugu, he read the Gita Vahini. And when he read Gita Vahini, he felt that it was like Ramakrishna Paramahansa speaking to him. It was so direct and so, so penetrating and so elevating. And he thought, oh my God, is he really the one who has written the Gita Vahini? Then he has to be someone very divine. And then, then suddenly he had this doubt, but it could be written by someone else, and they would have just put his name. Has Satyasai Baba really written this? And then he had the chance to listen to Swami's discourses, and when he heard Swami's discourses, he found it's the same thing that is written in the Gita Vahini, and all his doubts melted away. He knew, my God, he is that powerful person with such a tremendous voice and such a profound message. And you know, that is when he started developing faith in Bhagwan. He started coming for his darshans, and slowly Swami was capturing his heart. He had the chance to be a part of the summer course in 1973, and at the end of that summer course, he had this opportunity of being with Swami. You know, towards the end of the summer course, you have the chance to be with Swami. Swami used to sign these autographs of the students. In those days, you had so many chances of physical proximity. And when he was with Bhagwan, he asked Swami, please give me a chance to serve you, Swami. it just happened. He had not planned for it, but it's just that moment of being with Swami, just that chance of living with Swami during the 1973 summer course, something happened to him. He had the chance to be an observer teacher where, you know, you can need not attend everything, but you had the privilege to be a group teacher, so he could go back and do his job but still be part of the summer course and attend Swami's discourses. But the whole experience of listening to Swami every day had such a deep impact on him that now at the end of the summer course, he suddenly asked Swami, "Swami, please give me a chance to serve you, Swami." And even though he had a secure job in the college affiliated to the Bangalore University, but somehow he decided, "No, I want to be with Swami." And let me share with you a little clip of how he became a teacher, and we will continue this, but let me begin that story.
Then, of course, I was working in head of the Department of Commerce in MES College, a premier college in Bangalore. It is situated in Malleshwaram. Then, I don't know how these two can go together. I was damn afraid of Swami.
Why?
Physically, I do not know.
Was it
but
awe?
I loved Swami.
You loved him. Were you in awe of him or were you in fear of him?
No, I loved in the sense I was ready to do anything for the sake of Swami. And that much of commitment. But whether I am acceptable, God, whether he would excuse me for some lapses here and there. That kind of feeling, I think, now in retrospect. So I came behind Swami in one corner. When he was signing, I said, "Swami." He said, "Huh." "Swami. Swami seva chesi avakasam ivvala Swami." Means, "Swami, I pray that Swami gives me an opportunity to serve him." Swami suddenly turned, looked into my eyes. I tell you, it was a total searching kind of feeling, light into my heart, as if he's seeing my heart inside out. A kind of thrill, but at the same time, I cannot express, it is delightful, not fearsome, but very deep kind of look into my heart. Then he said, "Yes, Bangaru, but what is it that you are doing now?" "Swami, I am in MES college, commerce teacher." "Yes, we want commerce teacher," Swami said. "You go and see Dr. Gokak," said. And at that time, I didn't have any idea to serve Swami as a full-time teacher in his college. I was fairly popular as a teacher of accountancy and statistics in Bangalore University colleges. I thought that I could come on my own scooter and 2 days in a week, 2 periods a day, 4 periods cover one subject completely, either statistics or accounts, honorary teacher, come and teach and go back. This was my idea. And now I feel, don't be so niggardly while asking Bhagavan. Be a little more liberal. Some part-time lecturer, he must have thought. But he said, "Talk to Dr. Gokak." One person came running to me and said, a teacher there, "Sir, here they will pay you 300 rupees as your salary. You are a reader there. They will not be able to give you more than that." Then, it was difficult for me because I entirely depended upon my salary to run my family. I was getting about 1,000 rupees, 700 and odd salary, and other income about 200, 300, 1,000 rupees at that time. I wanted the reader's salary, 705 rupees, I wanted. Otherwise, I would not be able to manage the family.
You had 3 young children at home?
Yes. I had 3 children, I have family, and those 3 children were, one was 1 year old, the other 2 were going to school.
And Swami was 47 at that time. How old were you, sir?
I was 36. And then, I didn't go to Dr. Kokak. I went back. One fine evening, when I returned home, my wife told me that Swami wanted to see you. I said that you are mad. Swami wants to see me. How? No, that convener from Vayali Samiti had come. He said that Swami wants to see you, you should go. I started the scooter, went immediately to that gentleman's. He said, we'll go together, come on. We went. Swami had finished his darshan, Swami was going back. I could see only Swami's back. And he said, we'll go to Dr. Gokak. The gentleman who came with me said that we'll go to Dr. Gokak. I went to Dr. Gokak. Dr. Gokak asked me, are you interested in becoming a commerce teacher here? Yes, sir, I said. Then will you apply? Sir, I am a reader, head of the Department of Commerce in MES College. I get about 705 rupees salary. I need that much here. He said, we have advertised only for a lecturer's post. You are a reader. I don't care for that, sir. I am prepared to be a lecturer. But my salary must be 705.
Downgrading professionally.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And he was shocked. He said, I must be either mad or I must have been likely to be thrown out from the other college. Therefore, he is in such a great haste to join. Then he said, hey, don't be so hasty, I say. More like father to me. He knew me during the summer course time, 73. So he said, don't be so hasty and emotional. You are a reader, head of the Department of Commerce in a premier college, and you want to come here as a lecturer. I said, sir, for Swami's sake, I want to come. I don't mind other things. Even regarding the salary, I would not be able to manage my family without that much. Therefore, I want that salary. That is no problem at all, he said. We can fix you on a lecturer's grade in such a way that your emoluments will be 705 rupees. That's no problem. But are you willing? Yes, sir. Are you not interested in discussing this with your parents? My parents always permit me regarding certain things. So, I am ready. Then, I'll go and speak to Swami. After 1 week, you come back. I'll talk to you. Then I went back. He spoke to our principal. Our principal of MES College, one Professor Shastri, was his friend. He wanted to find out whether there is any problem for me. They wanted to get rid of me. He said, no. He was an alumnus of MBS College. We know him personally very well. He was the first batch student in this college here.
A first rank.
Mm. And we don't want to relieve him, he said. Shastri told Gokak. Later on I came to know about it. Then I went to 1 week later, when I went, Dr. Gokak said, no, we don't want you to take as a lecturer. We are going to advertise for a reader's post. You apply for reader and we'll take you as a reader. Ah, sir, I said, I was shocked, surprised. He said, yes, Swami has said, we'll take him as a reader. You advertise, we'll take him. But that is how it all ended up.
And I'm also in awe of Dr. Gokak's abilities as an administrator. He did his due diligence. He did his reference check.
Really, really.
Very meticulous.
No, really. See, a person who is given to the imaginary flights, a poet, a scholar.
So down to earth,
so
when he came to being an administrator.
That. And he advised me not merely find out, don't be so emotional.
And so hasty.
So hasty.
Yeah.
But he understood me. Then, when Swami cleared it and said that you apply for advertise for reader's post, he was all the more convinced that this is a genuine case.
So you could have your cake and eat it too. You got to come as a reader with the right salary.
Yes,
Swami.
Yes. And then there were a few obstacles which I can mention. 1972, Swami's college there was some problem accepting three teachers.
So that was Professor Nanjundaya sharing how he became a teacher. And as you listen to his story, you know, he was willing to give up his professional career. He was willing to be downgraded. Only thing he wanted is just that little money so that he can maintain his family. But look at Bhagwan's grace, you know. You, if you don't mind being a dust at his feet, he will raise you to be a diamond of his crown. Swami tells Gokak that advertise for a reader and take him as a reader. And later on we know how Professor Nanjundaya, Swami appointed him as the controller of examinations, and he served in that capacity till retirement, and even now he is in Prashantalayam, and he's such a huge inspiration and guide, mentor, and a solace for so many people on the spiritual path. But there's a lot more to his story, but this is just to share with you how Swami picked every individual and how he had touched them so deeply that they just wanted to live for Swami, and they did. In fact, Professor Nanjundaya, he decided to stay in the hostel even though he had married, and with three kids, he was living in the hostel with the boys. Generally, a teacher would take 14 hours. He used to take 21 hours and then still stay in the hostel and guide the students the morning, evening, afternoon, night. I mean, he was living every moment for Swami, and Swami so beautifully looked after his family too. I mean, if you make God the priority of your life, everything else just gets sorted out automatically. If God is priority one, for God you are always priority one. That is what we learn from all these stalwarts, these chosen ones who have dedicated their life for Bhagwan. But as you see, every person was picked by Swami, like the story of Sankar Subramaniam, like the story of Professor Nanjundaya. There are so many stories. You look at every person who was part of that era, and even now, it is always Swami who was chiseling, picking the right person and chiseling so that they become what he wants us to become. You know, Swami always wants us to become that street lights, to be that lighthouse for others. And this is how Vrindavan was built. You know, it was these students like Sankar Subramaniam and teachers like Nanjundaya who slowly shaped, through them Swami shaped what the Vrindavan that he wanted to build, and which shines so gloriously today, 50 years of the Vrindavan campus. So we'll continue the story of Professor Nanjundaya, because there is something interesting also that happened immediately after he joined. There was a challenge, and how he overcame that through his tremendous faith in Swami. And then also, with Swami's grace, I will share with you stories of many other teachers. We are trying to see some of the teachers who are still there now. The teacher who was teaching English at that point in time, who joined in 1969, B. Srinivas Murthy, sir. He's 94 now, but he's still there, and we are going to see if we can get his story. So this series is going to continue, and we are going to share with you those beautiful ways Swami shaped this campus and those telling lessons that are there for each one of us, how he shaped, how he wants modern education to be, the modern Gurukula that Swami wants every education in the current times to be shaped like. So we continue this story on the first Thursday of every month, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. It's time now to move on to the next segment of Thursday Live. Thank you so much. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. And if you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to Bishu, Bishu, @radiosai.org. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Oh, no. पूरी के तुम हो दाता, वृंदावन के तुम हो दाता, जब भक्तों के मन को Shama, Sai Ghan Shama, Sai Ghan Shama, Sai Ghan Shama.